Tag zusammen zu einer neuen Ausgabe von Klima und Kohle, dem Campus Talk. Heute wieder zusammen mit Christian Kamlott. Tag, Christian.
Hallo, Henrik.
Wir haben heute wieder eine Sonderfolge. Die Idee war ja, jeden fünften Termin im Monat zu nutzen, um eine Sonderfolge zu machen. Und eine Idee, die ja schon länger existiert, ist, dass wir mal eine Folge machen zum Thema Internationalisierung an Hochschulen, Gewinnung von internationalen Fachkräften. And I think this is a very good idea to do this in English and not in German. So, let's start again. Welcome, Christian.
Hi, Henrik. Nice to meet you here.
Yeah, so we are, I think we have a track record at our university in Birkenfeld with international students. You are the head of our bachelor degree program, Sustainable Business and Technology. So you have a long experience in acquiring young people to join our university, to join the German job market, to face the shortage of skilled workers in Germany. Let's start with a brief introduction. Why did you start this bachelor degree program? What is the idea? What is the concept of this program?
Okay, let us go one step back, Henrik, because SBT wasn't really the start of that idea. The true start is already, I think it's now 13 years ago, when I was quite fresh at university, and I was in some meeting, I think it was a meeting on internationalization processes or something like this, and everybody was quite sad. Our share of internationals is so low. What can we do about? And I was more or less in the beginning a visitor to this and was asking myself, okay, so it's not really surprising me because all we offer is German language courses. So for me, it was not so surprising. We have not many international students around because it's quite hard. Even if you learn German at school, being in Scandinavia, being in the US or wherever, to follow a German university lecture in German language, that's nearly impossible because German is, as we all know, a quite complex language. So I suggested, okay, so why don't we introduce a one semester exchange program which is taught completely in English. And this is what is still existing today as our lead exchange program, which is a study semester. And we started this in 2010, it was. And this developed greatly. We invited each year 20 students from our partner universities worldwide to come here to do a one semester course on sustainable business. So it was not only business, it was already a pinch of engineering in there. And this was a great success over years. And it started in the summer term. Then 2 or 3 years later, we said, okay, why don't we do this also in the winter term? Then we had the first students staying here not only for 6 months, but for 12 months. And so it developed step by step. And then finally we said, okay, there were already the first students who approached us saying, hey guys, why don't you offer us the chance to study a whole bachelor program? And then this idea was born originally. And then we sat together at university and said, okay, let's design an international bachelor's program. And we started to put together the main pillars. And I think now I'm at this point where your question was, what are the main pillars? What is the main idea of this program? First of all, it's an industrial engineer, an Wirtschaftsingenieurstudium, we would say in German, which is quite a German thing. Not in many countries you can study such a mix of engineering and business things in one study program. But I think this is a quite important one because we try to train, to educate people to be able to work on the interchange of engineering knowledge, technical skills and so, and business knowledge, understanding cash flow and so.
Yeah.
And this was the basic idea of this program. It's fully taught in English. And this was my petitum, my personal petitum. I said, okay, if we as a German state university introduce such a program, there must be something coming with it for us as Germany, as German nation. Because we all know one of the biggest challenges we are facing is a shortage of skilled workers, tomorrow more than today even. And so I said, okay, we have to train people and to motivate them to stay then in Germany, well-educated, already been in touch with German culture, with our mindset here. And so there is a third pillar next to business and engineering, which is culture. And language is the main thing where we transport this, because I personally believe, and before we started this program, to say this as well, we had many talks with medium-sized companies regarding their wishes. What if you want to hire an international employee, what is your main concern? What do you want? And obviously, of course, they need a certain skill set, but everybody said, make sure that they can speak German.
Yes.
Still today, even for a comparatively large mid-sized company, as long as the headquarters is in Germany, it is very difficult to cope with your job if you don't speak a word of German. And so we said, okay, we have to make them fit in German language. And so German language is in each of the six semesters an integral part of the study program. You can only pass this program and only get your bachelor's degree if you have at least a B2 level of German language. And this enables those people to get integrated in Germany,
yep,
to really find a job. And I'm quite proud because 1 year ago, I discussed with our first batch, with nearly every alumni we have from the very first year. And Henrik, guess how many of them still were in Germany 1 year ago?
90%.
100%.
100. And that's great.
That's great. And this is exactly what we wanted. We, as the German state, as Germans, we pay this education, which is a big comparative advantage compared to other international studying options. If they study in the US, in UK, wherever, always they have to pay tuition fees, and they don't have to do that here. So it's very cheap and you get good quality education and you learn German, and then you have the chance to get a job in Germany and to stay in Germany for good. And many of them want that. And this is what I think is very important with this program. It's always already been copied from two universities in between, which is basically a good sign.
I think so. That is very important. That we
And for us, I mean, I can only say this for myself, obviously. And I know from a handful of colleagues who have the same meaning about that. And it's really great fun to work with them, because those students are so motivated to be successful, to learn something. They are hungry. I mean, they are not starving for food, but they are hungry for knowledge. That's why they are here, and they take it all very serious. And on average, my impression is they take it more serious as the Germans that we have here, because still, for somebody coming from Bangladesh, from India, from Africa, from wherever, it's still, of course, comparatively expensive to live in Germany, living, food, everything. I think on average the families are quite well off in their home countries.
Yeah.
And so they really want to be successful, and they want to speed up their studies. They are performing quite well. It's great fun to work with them. And when, as I said, I saw that 100% of them are still in Germany doing a master's program or having a job, I think this is the best what we could have wished when starting this program.
Yes, yes, of course. What I personally appreciate working with the international students on the bachelor level or on the other hand, on the master level, is the discussion, the exchange with the students, with their perspective from their home country. Because if you discuss the energy transition, Energiewende, or climate change issues, you have always this German view or the European view with the German mm-hmm. students. Mm-hmm. And what is very, very helpful is that you have these perspectives from Asia, from Absolutely. North or South America, because they have a totally different view. They come from developing countries or even from poor countries. If they came from, I don't know, Cameroon, Nigeria, these emerging countries at the beginning of their industrial process with issues we never have seen or experienced in the last 100 years. So the students, the German students, do not know these issues. And I think this exchange on the scientific level, on the one hand, is very, very important. And also to improve your personal perspective about foreign countries outside of the European, let's say the European culture, although we have different cultures in Europe. But I think if you get in contact with students from India, from even from the US, who have a total different mindset, what they do, how they act, it's very, very interesting. And I appreciate this. One quick example, I have a game I play with the master students about climate change. So a simulation game, the groups are one party in a global game. They need to develop their country in this game, and they all will emit greenhouse gases. And the goal of this game is, on the one hand, you win the game if you are the highest developed country. Mm-hmm. But all players in this game contribute to climate change. And the idea is that after a couple of rounds played in the game, they need to see, there's climate change, and the climate change reduces my industrial capacity. So the main idea of this game. And what you can observe is that the different international groups, I do not mix the groups, the students stay in their home country group, they act totally different. The Germans act normally very green and sustainable to say, let's save the planet. And for example, the US students very often are just focused on the economic profit. Mm-hmm. Very funny. And then if you, after the game, start to discuss why have you made this decision in the game to reflect what they did and what had happened, because in 95% of the game, the planet is dead. We were facing climate change. We discussed climate change in the previous lectures, and then we play this game. So the students know, we need to save the planet. And if they act as a politician, they destroy the planet. Every single game. But in different ways. And that is very interesting to see how the students act from their previous education in their home countries. And this is so interesting and so helpful to reflect on your personal perspective. I really appreciate this.
Yeah, absolutely. I experience very similar things because I try always to mix courses. I offer courses that are exclusively for foreigners, for them to integrate with each other, especially for those who are only here for a semester in exchange or so. And other courses, and in general, of course, every course is open for everybody, but other courses are designed to mix groups, where I invite German students, and for them it's an elective, and at the same time, I invite international students, the subject being elective for them as well, and experience the same very nice, enriching discussions because of their very different perspectives. So I totally agree. That's enriching in many different facets, even on our campus life. It's so good to see what the students organize by themselves. They have this international breakfast, or they introduce their home countries, bringing their home food and playing their home music. All this helps to make our society a bit more colorful, because this is exactly what we see when we go in the street. I studied some 20 years ago in Mannheim. And Mannheim always has been a city with high levels of migration. And this is even has even improved or has developed stronger until today. If I go to Mannheim, I see it even more than 20 years ago. And I think this is what happens with our society. And if you start bringing the nations and the different cultures together already at university, that's a logical step in this process. Even with our admin at university, it is doing something. I remember in the very beginning, this was quite a hurdle, because everybody has to change, even in the student's office and so on. And now I see that in general, communication at university is bilingual. So if there are emails addressed to all students, to all staff, to all I don't know what, you know, those mass emails that come day by day, they are bilingual nowadays. This was a process.
Yeah, of course.
Getting this done. But I think this is a very good process, because we have to cope with that problem. You said that in another podcast, there are retiring 1.5 million people in Germany year over year, and only 1 million is growing up being the next generation. So there's a gap, and the only chance for us to fill this gap is migration.
Yes, of course. I think that is, you're completely right. We need to find young people from outside of Europe, from Germany, of course, and of Europe, and integrate them through the German job market, because we don't have these kids in Germany that can fill this gap. So the industry must have a very, very big interest in getting international people to Germany. We have had this in the past, 1960s, the people from Turkey, from Italy, working in the German coal mines. Of course, low-level workers, hard work. We have seen this in the automotive sector in the 1960s, 1970s in Germany. So, of course, this was an idea of the government and not coming from the universities. That was triggered by the industry. And actually, I don't see this movement or these ideas at the moment. All people, the press, the media, the government says, oh, we have a gap and we need skilled workers. But I don't see that in Germany, we welcome people that they can join our job market. So what we need to do as a university in Birkenfeld and all universities in Germany, we need to prepare the young people for the German job market. Absolutely. That they can also be a bridge to their home country. Again, a very nice idea for the small or medium enterprises we have, in particular in close to the university's location, that this might be a chance to have a contact to an international market, that you can say, okay, I have some employee from India who has studied in Germany, knows the German language, the German culture, and is a bridging person to India. To step into this market. What a brilliant idea. And to be honest, I don't see that the industry hops onto this train and says, let's do this and force this.
Yeah.
I don't see this.
Again, also, this is a process. And I feel it's getting better. And I already, as an example, we mentioned our student project several times already. And also in the SBT program, I integrated such a project module. And last semester, I did such a project with international students with a consultancy company. The whole project was in English, and the consultancy company, headquartered in Luxembourg, for them it's normal. All the business language is English, and they are already a step further in this process. And I think many German companies will follow because there is no choice.
Of course. We have to. And this is very important. On the other hand, of course, what you need to ensure is that you have a diverse group, that you have students from the whole world and not try to concentrate on one or two single countries, because you have always this clash of cultures. The German culture or the European culture differs from the Chinese or Japanese culture totally.
And this
is very important, even for the German students, that they get in contact and that they even start to watch football together. That's not working because even the German students are not interested in football at our university, unfortunately. But this is so interesting to open your mind. And it's getting better, you're right. But I think, on the other hand, even on the professors at our university, there are a lot of professors which at the moment don't have a big interest in doing English lectures because it's different to do a German lecture. You need to prepare all the slides, all the content. You need to do a lot of work to prepare your lecture in English instead of German. Their knowledge of the English language isn't perhaps that good.
Mediocre sometimes.
And that is, of course, a problem that the pool of professors or lecturers who could offer an English course is not that large. And that is, of course, also very important for the universities that you get new professors which are able to do international lectures and not only the German lectures.
But also this is a process, as we both know. If we hire a new professor in the process where they have to introduce themselves and give test lectures and all that stuff, we normally these days integrate English and have to lecture in German and in English at the same time. And if they do not perform in English, we don't hire them. But also this is a process, obviously. And another important thing in that context, it's not all nice and shiny. Of course, internationalization and more migration and culture comes up with cultural clashes as well. So we have problems nowadays sometimes that we didn't know before. There is something like sexual harassment, which results from just a very different understanding between the relation between men and women we have here in Germany and Europe. And there are countries where this relationship is treated a bit differently. And not every student, I'm talking about male students coming here, have really incorporated our cultural understanding of that. So this causes problems. And sometimes, but this is more a funny thing, what I experience, many of them see education or university staff as a service provider. They come here and they think, okay, their service is education and you, professor, have to make sure that I learn.
Yeah.
And maybe in their systems, in their educational systems in their home countries, that might be the case, especially some of them come from the private educational system in their countries. And yeah, maybe this is the spirit over there, but it's not at the German state university. And then I explained them, no, this is not how it works here. This is your thing. It's your job to perform. And if you don't perform, we will X you automatically one day. So make sure you learn, you're good, and you follow up. So this is also a different culture, different understanding. Yeah. And even funny things like, I remember a situation which was in the first second not so funny, but now looking back and it was not a real problem, it was funny. There was one student leasing a student flat, and it was designed for one student. So in Germany, normally one student would live there.
Yeah.
He said, okay, still quite expensive. Why don't share this flat? Then we share euros as well.
Yeah.
And in the end, seven students lived in this flat. And of course, this was a big mess in this dorm, no one wanted to accept it, and there was like a tiny revolution from the others. But for them, it was normal. I think no normal German student would share his single bedroom flat with six other students. This would be no option, I guess. But it was quite a normal thing for them. So things like this happen. But all this is part of migration, of cultural change, of getting more colorful. And I see it very positively. It's a process that we are in. We have to learn to cope with it. We don't have to accept everything, obviously. Of course not. It's a big chance for us as well to further develop our own culture.
Yeah. And
another good example that I know, there was a South African student, very motivated, very good. I said, okay, why are you here from South Africa coming to Germany? And he said, in South Africa, being white and not so privileged family-wise, it's quite difficult these days to develop and to make a good career, because they are in this process trying to solve the black and white problem down there. And he said, my chances are much better here. And, you know, if you want to name it like this, I'm a refugee. I'm a refugee coming to Germany, willing to build my and my family's future here in Germany, because I don't see a good future for me and myself, for me and my family down there in South Africa. So it's very, you learn a lot. You get another picture on the earth sometimes. And you have the chance to work with very motivated people. And in the end, I believe we are contributing something for our country as well. And I come back to that. I think a main thing is learn German, force them to learn German, because otherwise it might happen that you have a study bubble here, people from all over the world coming here to Germany, studying something all in English, living in their English community, and then leaving Germany for a job opportunity somewhere which is in English again. So this is not a good investment for us, because we have them here, we educate them, and then we leave them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And I think another aspect is very important, that the German students are forced to do lectures and to work on their topics in English.
Yeah.
That is something I'm facing in the bachelor degree program Renewable Energy. We have this lecture solar energy, so about photovoltaics. And this is, although the program is in German, this course was designed in English to say you have a technical lecture, which is important for the education. This is done in English. And what I observe in the last years, you have courses which are very, very good. A lot of students which are can follow my the lectures can discuss in English. But I have also had years I was able to do the lecture in English, but the discussion has to be done in German. Otherwise, I wouldn't have got any answer.
Yeah.
And that is, of course, the wrong way. This semester, I forced the students to discuss. I have a big international group this year in this course, so that is very, very interesting. I've made a case study inspired by you, of course, about the question, should we get the solar module manufacturing capacities back to Europe, or shall we leave it in China? So I split the students cool. in peer groups. And, of course, I had some groups just with German students, but also with international students. And that was very interesting to observe the students in their discussion, in their peer group role, pro-China, pro-Europe, pro-sustainability, without any idea, is Europe or China better? And that was so interesting for the students that I think they learned so much about discussion culture,
mm-hmm.
discussing in English with their limitations in language knowledge, of course, mm-hmm. because they are not fluent in English.
But this doesn't matter at all. Yeah.
You will see this in the job later on. To be honest, I haven't had any lectures in English in my during my stay in Aachen at the university, although, of course, the scientific language is English, but the language in the lectures was always German. Even during my time, my PhD time in Bochum was in German because we don't have had a lot of international PhD students in our lab or in our group. So the start of talking in English was in the job, and then you need to perform. There was no question, oh, Mr. Thiessen, are you able to go to Italy and do some communication with our guys in Italy to solve a problem over there? And if you say no, then you say, okay, no problem. Here's the door. Please leave the company. We have no use for you.
Yeah.
And if you need to discuss contracts, technical issues in contracts with people from Italy, from Spain, from Japan in a company, you need to perform and you need to be fit very, very fast. And it's very helpful if you have had this situation before doing your stay at the university, because then you are prepared, you have seen the situation, and you are more or less familiar with this.
Mm.
That is very important that even the German students Absolutely. Are more open-minded. To be honest, I don't know how good the quality of the English, of the knowledge of the English language is in Germany. If you are in Munich or Cologne, for example, I think this might be good that the bus driver, the taxi driver speaks English. But the, let's call them in quotes, the normal people, they don't need English compared to the Dutch or the Scandinavian people who have only TV movies in English with their subtitles. That is so easy, so helpful to learn English within weeks, to be honest. Watch your favorite series, hear your favorite podcast, even this podcast in English, and you will learn the language within weeks and months. Perfect.
Yeah.
So I think we made it. I think we talked about all the issues. I hope all the English native speaker are still online and haven't switched off due to our mistakes.
What language are those guys speaking?
Yeah, that is. But I think it was for the German. It was quite well. So thank you, Christian, for joining me on this special episode. Have a nice day, and we meet together next time. Then again, in German. But I think it wasn't the last time that we discussed in this podcast in English. So thank you very much, Christian.
Thank you, Henrik. See you soon.
In der nächsten Woche geht es dann weiter mit einer regulären Folge auf Deutsch. Wir werden uns in der zweiten Folge unserer kleinen Reihe zum Klimawandel mit der Physik hinter dem Klimawandel beschäftigen. Wie funktioniert der Treibhauseffekt? Welche Einflussgrößen haben wir? Und diskutieren mal, wie weit man oder wie tief man in dieses Thema einsteigen kann, ohne jetzt ein Physikstudium absolviert haben zu müssen. Das klappt eigentlich ganz gut, um so die Grundlagen des Klimawandels verstehen zu können. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören dieser Sonderfolge auf Englisch. Bis zum nächsten Mal.